Good morning, everybody. Welcome to WIP Morning Show. Tuesday morning in the Delaware Valley. And needless to say, this is a city in crisis, even though our winter teams are doing pretty well right now.
10 at home.
And things are going well with that. 10 in a row for the Sixers.
Home,
but
yep.
We are here in a crisis intervention mode. And that's why we brought in Al, our top brain for that. Mr. Billy King. Billy, good to have you
here.
Good
morning. Good morning.
Oh, there's Billy, a storehouse of great information today. Mm-hmm. I can't wait till you hear his Monday Night Football story, which he just told me a couple of minutes ago. He was a runner for Monday Night Football.
Oh, cool.
Back in the earlier days, right? Before he became a big basketball executive.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, we are giving away today as our main prize tickets to see Monday Night Football. It's Eagles Giants, and it's a week from last night, and you will get great seats. And I'll explain to you how you can do that in a minute. Also, a couple other things. When I was listening to Maryland Mike do the game on Sunday, Al, and what a game it was, I started to wonder what it's like for Merrill when the team is so horrific. Like, he did a lot. We played a montage yesterday of all the negative stuff him and Merrill said.
Yeah.
It wasn't all the negative stuff. There was way more. It was 3.5 hours of that, right? What's that like for the voice of the team? He loves that team.
Yeah.
He never doesn't show up.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to him at 8 o'clock about that. And also, I want to know what it's like to be a broadcaster when they run a trick play. You know how the Eagles were not ready for it?
Yeah.
As a broadcaster?
It's tough.
Did you see that alignment?
I saw it. I didn't know what was going on.
50 years. You think Merrill ever saw some alignment like that?
Even on TV, it was like, what are they doing?
Right. At 7 o'clock, Joe Gilley will be out to do two sports because, of course, he's got great insights into the Eagles. He really wants the Eagles to still make the playoffs out just to give Carson Wentz some playoff experience.
Oh, that's sad.
That is sad, isn't it? And Joe Giglio will also deal with, and this is one of the things we're going to talk to Billy about. Two years ago, the Phillies could have gotten a lot for Cesar Hernandez.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they said goodbye to him.
Yeah.
They didn't get anything
for him.
So I'm going to ask Billy what it's like when you have to let go of a player that a year or two earlier you could have gotten something juicy for.
Yeah.
And you got a good story.
I do.
This story you're going to tell about that, well, it still hurts you to talk about it today.
It does.
And it also reveals why Billy King will always hate to his very core Stephen A. Smith.
I mean, not to the core.
Stephen A. Smith is involved in the story.
Always.
You tell me, well, we would have had like three more parades if Stephen A. Smith weren't here.
Oh, please.
But anyway, we got Glenn Foley on at 9 o'clock out, because let's be honest, Glenn Foley knows Frank Reich better than we do. And more and more people are wondering if Frank Reich wasn't the brains behind 2017.
The Colts lost to the Dolphins, too.
I understand, Rhea, but maybe it was just the perfect melding of intelligence. You know?
Exactly
like this show. All right, but we have, let me start with a crisis, because we were right in the middle of it yesterday. It's not the first time lately, Al. These conversations we have with the managers and the coaches. They tend to stir stuff up, don't they?
Yes.
So I'm going to be quite honest with you. I was not looking for any trouble yesterday. I started our conversation with Doug Peterson by almost apologizing to him. Doug, I have great respect for you. What you did for us with that Super Bowl will never be forgotten. But, wow, that was one horrible game on everyone's part Sunday in Miami.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get to the bottom of why the Eagles would play so horribly against an atrocious opponent. And then, were you ready for him to say what he said to us?
No.
I was not ready for it, because I don't think there's much that a coach can say that's worse than what Doug Peterson said about his team in Sunday's game. Here it is.
They played harder than we did. And that's why I said that I'm disappointed because of that they wanted this one a little bit more than we did. And they made the plays and we didn't.
All right, Billy, there is a two ways to interpret that comment, right? Because he's saying the other team had more motivation to win than your team.
It does. It reminded me of a Larry Brown post-game press conference.
Oh, it did, because he was so honest.
Larry would just say that.
And if it reflected poorly on him, so be it.
Yeah, and
right?
As a GM, I used to cringe when Larry.
I'll bet you did. But here's the thing, all right? He said it. And everything that we watched, all the statistics, all the information surrounding it, supported that comment. Right, Rhea? Was there anything about that that you would go, well, no, I could argue against that. I thought our team showed a tremendous amount of spirit.
As you like to point out, the game was televised.
Well, here's the thing. You're right, Rhea. That's the problem a lot of these teams have. They think we aren't watching the game. But here's the thing that was most amazing. After the game, Ruben Frank from NBC Sports, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the plane coming back. Mm-hmm. And he decides, because he's like the stat nut of all time.
Yeah.
Something's bothering him about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, the Dolphins, one of the worst offenses in football, scored touchdowns on 5 consecutive drives. 5 straight drives. Touchdown, 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 touchdown. It's almost impossible. Right now? 5 for 5?
Mm-hmm.
Let alone you're the 30th ranked offense in football. And he went back as far as he could go before the plane landed. 43 years.
Oh, jeez.
And the Eagles had never given up 5 consecutive touchdown drives. Now, Al. If you know, if it was a longer flight, we'd find out if they ever did. I don't know. That's as far back as he's going. And when I read the thing yesterday, I went, well, I ain't going back the rest of the years. I'll wait for Ruben to do it. So right now, I can tell you that hasn't happened in 43 years, let alone against an awful out. There's no explanation, but you didn't give a damn. Is there any other? How do you allow that?
You have your worst game. The other team picks on one thing.
How do you allow it? You can't allow it. They're playing for nothing. Their fans want them to lose so they get a higher draft pick.
What fans?
You're playing for your division. Most of the building is filled with your fans, and it's 1,000 miles from home, and you don't care. Now, I got more for you on that in a minute, but let me just tell you. Al, by the time from 8 to noon, either somebody had talked to Doug or he realized that he can't say that. That you can't say that. But when you say that, Billy, you're basically saying my team has no character. There are huge flaws in the culture of the organization.
Yeah, as a GM, I would have went and talked to the coach.
You
said that. You can't say
said
that
so.
Before noon. You got to clean that up.
All right. I don't know if Howie did, because I'm not even positive Howie's still alive. I can't tell. He never shows his face anymore. Oh. But anyway, Al, so here's the recant. Well, let me say, Doug is too honest to just deny what he said. He reshapes it. Billy, tell me if you think this worked. Because now it's noon, and the very first question is, wow, Doug, you said on the WIP morning show that the other team wanted it more and played harder. Really? And here's what he said.
I don't want to be misunderstood when I make that statement. What I mean by they want it more, there were certain plays in that game where obviously they made the play we didn't. So in that case, yeah, they wanted that play a little bit more than we did.
Billy, did that help at all?
No.
That did not help. And I got more for you. Because he kept on it until, Al, he could somehow change the narrative. It didn't work. Here's more.
The effort, the energy level, all that was there. You know, in the game, playing tough, guys played hurt in the game and went back in the game. So it's none of that. It's the fact that there were plays to be made in that game. We didn't make them. They wanted that aspect of the game just a touch more. They made those plays and ultimately came out on top.
All right, that in itself is worth grilling you about. Because why, Billy? Why? Yeah. Why did they want it more? They're playing for nothing.
Yeah. Well,
why did they want it?
What happens? I think sometimes this group, to me, is not collective as a group.
This is not a team. You think there's an issue with the culture of it.
That's why, to me, it just seems like everybody's out there playing individually and not as a team when you watch them play. And so that's why
plays
happen.
But they did in 17.
Yeah.
They won a Super Bowl.
Well, Because remember when Carson got hurt, everybody said, the season's over. And I think they bonded together and said, because nobody thought they'd continue to play. Kept playing.
Did they bond together because Foles is a better leader than Wentz, and he was a great guy to get behind? Because I'm openly questioning now Wentz's leadership.
I do question that, but I think what happened is I think people started thinking that the season's over because it was all Wentz. And so I think
I thought it was over. I was on a plane. We were in LA, and we were all crying on the plane.
Billy, what you're saying is you think the players kind of took it like it's not just all
Wentz. Well, they wanted to prove that it wasn't
Carson Wentz. It was a rallying point.
Yeah, it was a rallying point to prove that we're a team more than just Carson Wentz.
All right, but here's the thing. So, Al, did the coach help himself, Eddie, with the recant later in the day?
Not really, but at least you realized
He realized he shouldn't have said what he said. Yeah. All right, here's the problem. When one of your top leaders on the team has his own radio show, the Player Lounge, Brandon Graham, who stunk it up on Sunday. I mean, stunk it up, Al. And he comes out and completely supports your original comment that they didn't want it enough. That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
No.
So let me let you hear what Brandon Graham said yesterday, because he was on the field. He was in the plays. And here's what he said.
Everybody knew we had a really good chance to win the game. I mean, we had that feeling. But like you say, they came out and they just kept swinging. And, you know, they end up winning the game, you know, and they fought harder. I mean, it was one of those games where we knew it was a lot of, they didn't have really much to play for, but, you know, we all knew that they are prideful men, and everybody in this league, you know, don't want to look bad on TV. So it's tough when you let one slip like that.
I'm using my first time out. They're prideful men.
Yeah.
What about my team?
Exactly.
They're not? My team is not? My immediate follow-up to Brandon Graham would be, Brandon, why don't you guys have any pride? Why does a stupid Dolphins team that can't beat anybody, is last in the league in most categories, why do they worry about how they look on TV and you don't? Rhea, what the hell is that?
It's what a losing team says.
Yeah.
All right, well, I got one more. By the way, there's a lot more. I could be playing these all morning because he kept repeating that the Dolphins were out there making plays because they wanted it more.
Your head coach is saying that. Yeah. One of the leaders on your team is saying it, and Brandon Graham. It is an entire culture-wide thing in that locker room entering
into
that game.
That's exactly where I'm going with it. You can't be a real team and allow what happened Sunday to happen. Well, Billy, okay. Right?
And when you start having guys, your leaders not talk post-game,
that was a problem, too.
That tells you right there, because they've probably been staying in the locker room, and now they're frustrated, so they don't even want to talk to the press.
So the leaders, the people that didn't talk, are angry at their teammates
because they're mailing it in. Because they've been saying it, and guys aren't responding, so now they're frustrated, so they don't even want to talk post-game, because they may say something that they'll regret.
All right, Brandon Graham made note. He did not later in the show recant.
No.
All right, he just kept pounding the point that the Eagles lost the game because the opponent wanted to win at 2-9 more than the Eagles did when they had a chance to tie for the division lead. Here's a little more.
On key downs, we didn't make the plays. And, you know, it was just, man, we lost that game, man. That's the bottom line. We lost that game. They wanted it more.
They wanted it more. Yeah. We lost that game, man. They wanted it more. He said he felt sluggish the whole game out. He said he didn't feel like he was into the game.
No. Well, I mean, it showed up.
Mel Reese is in his mid-70s. He's coming out at 8 o'clock this morning. He was into the game. I listened to him. Totally ready for the game. 25,000 people were in the stands, minimum, in Miami. Spent a lot of money. They were into the game. The players being paid millions for the privilege of playing in the National Football League with a very small window of time when they can enjoy this privilege, didn't show up. Let me just start with this. I'm going to stop blaming people, and I'll start right with Doug Peterson. In fact, I'll go higher. Yeah. I'll go to Howie.
Well, it's got to start, because if you're the leader as the GM, it's on you.
He gave up on the team at the trade deadline now. So I'll get Howie. Doug can't motivate his team. Doug can't motivate his team. What the hell's he doing? Carson Wentz is my leader? What is he doing? I didn't. After the game, did you hear a lot of great leadership from him? Did you say to him, don't rally behind him? No, I'm blaming him too. And Malcolm Jenkins and Brandon Graham and everybody associated with the team. How dare you in our city mail in a game you got to win against a pathetic opponent? I won't stand for it.
Okay.
Not that I can do that much. Other than yelling, I got nothing. But that's all I got. But I honestly, I am appalled. There's nothing you could do that would tick me off more than what you did.
It extended to the post game, which I still can't get over Carson Wentz telling me he had already turned the page.
Yeah. I don't like the page turning. I don't turn pages.
I
stay
on
one page
on
a long time.
You could move on Tuesday.
Yeah,
exactly. I turned a page. No, I'm not turning any page. That I am now looking at him differently because he is not leading in this team. He is not boldly setting the course for the team, and that's part of the job of the quarterback. Well, damn you, all of you. Imagine that. In our city, I'm not going to put in the effort to win a game I got to win against a team that doesn't need to win at all. It's a disgrace. 888-729-9494. When we come back, because we're going to do, I'll give you a contest now for the tickets today. Monday Night Football used to be the biggest brand in sports.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Now it's a dying brand now. It's still there.
It's still there.
But it's not as good.
It's not like Sunday Night Football.
We are doing dying brands today. Or it could be dead. Either one. Something that was big and now either doesn't exist or is not what it was. Dying brands.
Yeah.
All right? And when we come back, we got a great story from Billy King about when he was a runner in the heyday.
A runner is somebody that just runs information, right?
Just run around.
You weren't a halfback anywhere. Okay.
He was Aaron, a gopher, right? He was a gopher, Al.
But they paid me.
With Howard Cosell and Dandy Don Meredith and Frank Gifford.
Cool.
And he's got this story is great. You got to hear this story because that was when it was not a dying brand.
Yeah.
In the Billy King is very young ages, which is no longer true. 8887. You probably even had hair then, right, Bill?
I had a lot of hair.
Oh, man. I can't even picture you. 888 729 9494 WIP Sports Time 668.